This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise and thanks belong to Allah the Most High. We thank Him and we seek His help and aid and ask Him to forgive us. And we seek His protection from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we commit. Indeed, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. And I testify that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah. And the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated, and every religious innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. Every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd. We are in the months of Hajj. And soon, the season of Hajj itself will start. And soon, some of us will make that journey to those sacred spots to respond to the call of Allah Azza wa Jal. And like any other worship in Islam, there is always a deeper, more profound meaning and objectives and lessons to it than the external performance of that ibadah. And like we do with salah, and like we do with fasting and the other obligations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we may or we may not be of those who will be joining the pilgrims in those sacred spots, we need to contemplate and understand the lessons of Hajj, the spiritual side of Hajj, the benefits of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it an obligation on all humanity. All humanity, Muslims directly and non-Muslims indirectly, because they have to accept Islam. Why Hajj, why visiting that spot was not only the worship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, but he says in an authentic hadith, as if I can see Musa alayhi salam coming down through here and there for Hajj, as if I can see Yunus alayhi salam coming down towards Hajj. There's something great about that spot. Something that is connected to us being humans. When you look at us, humanity in general, you'll find that we live our lives as if we are not sent by someone for a specific mission.
The choices that we are making, the path that we choose, are not done because there is a higher power or purpose that governs us and leads us and guides us. No, you'll find that the choices that we are making reflect what we like and what we dislike, what we feel like doing or don't feel like doing, our own limited thinking, and what appeals to us or does not appeal. It doesn't reflect any depth. And so the consequences of those choices, the thing that we bear, are all a reflection of our own limited understanding and even selfish choices. Forgetting, subhanAllah, that is not the case. That actually someone sent you. Like you send your child, or send your spouse, or someone that you are connected to. You tell him, go and do this for me. You expect them to perform that task and to come back with that fulfilled task. This is what we are. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, وَإِذَا أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. Allah here recounts, because what explains this ayah in full is a hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, an authentic hadith. The ayah tells us that remember the time when Allah has taken the progeny of the children of Adam from their backs and made them testify, ask them, make them witnesses for or against themselves, depending on their choices later. Am I not your Rabb? Here, imagine with me, as the Prophet ﷺ tells us, that Allah has taken out from the back of Adam ﷺ every living human being, from the children of Adam till the last person who will be on this earth. And He spread them on the plain, on this earth, spread them on a plain, and that plain is the plain of Arafah. And He asked them, am I not your Rabb? Meaning, am I not your creator and guide and sustainer? And the one that you need, and the one that you call upon, etc., etc., etc. Am I not? And they said, قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. He said, yes, شَهِدْنَا. We testify. Allah says that we've done this. أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. So that you do not say, when you come on the Day of Judgment, we didn't know. We were in a state of ghafla, unaware, ignorant. He says, I am removing your excuse by that encounter. أَوْ تَقُولُوا إِنَّمَا أَشْرَكَ آبَاؤُنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا ذُرِّيَّةً مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ أَفَتُهْلِكُنَا بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. Or you may say, our parents were like this. You may say, my father was of this faith or that faith, this sect or that sect, or he didn't teach me, he didn't do this or that to me, or I was following what he was doing or what she was doing. I was following what my community, my neighborhood, my country was doing. Allah Azza wa Jalla also wants to invalidate that blind imitation and excuse. He says, you don't have an excuse. You say, I don't remember that encounter. Two things. Allah told you about it in the Quran, and if you believe your Creator, you believe it happened. But also, that Allah Azza wa Jal has deposited, this is what the Ahlul Tafsir also say, Allah had deposited in the hearts of minds of humanity evidence that Allah Azza wa Jal is their Rabb. In effect, as if that covenant is being taken every time you wake up and you read the Quran and the Sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and you look around you and you see the signs of Allah in yourself, in your own self, without you even looking outside your window, in yourself you see a sign of Allah that He exists and that He is your Rabb. Then when you look outside your window and you contemplate humanity and the rest of His creation, you see evidence that He is one and that He is your Rabb and that He has no partners and that you need to submit to Him and go back to Him. He says, I've put all of this in your heart and in your mind. So that when you come and meet Allah Azza wa Jalla and you say, I was unaware, He says, you were aware. You say, I was imitating, He said, you have better evidence for you not to imitate. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam tells us, as I told you, where did this take place? Arafah. So every person, every Muslim, able-bodied, financially able, it's an obligation on him to make that journey and renew that pledge that he had given to Allah Azza wa Jal in the same spot. That's your first spot on this earth. In the same spot. To say, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ. I'm responding to your call, Ya Allah. I'm responding and there is no partner to you. This is a resetting of your compass in life. Why are you living? Where are you heading? What's the purpose of this existence? What are your plans in the next week, next month, next year, for the rest of your life? Our compass, because it's not calibrated, often what happens to us, it takes us away from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah brings Hajj among other obligations to say, hey, take your compass again and understand why I'm sending you to that spot. Because it is that spot, there you made a pledge to me, and it is there that you will learn again where you're heading and what you're supposed to do about it. So you're going on Hajj so that you can correct your journey back to Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a renewal and it's a commitment. And a person who goes with that understanding will not going to come back the same by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. We're going to come back with a better understanding of where and why he should go. Another lesson of Hajj that I would like to share with you. Another spiritual side to it. You find us, alhamdulillah, and this is a good sign, worried about the external halal and haram. This day or that day. This act or that act. And that is good, alhamdulillah. But all of that is a reflection of something that is greater. And that is the fear and love of Allah Azza wa Jal that you have in your heart. Or should have in your heart and my heart. Allah Azza wa Jal, in the midst of talking about Hajj, He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. This, all the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal that He's giving you about Hajj, He's doing it so that he who esteems and honors the prohibitions of Allah, it is better for him with his Lord. Meaning, if Allah Azza wa Jal prohibits hunting, and you can hunt and capture animals without one seeing. And if Allah Azza wa Jal prohibits at that moment, if you are in a state of ihram, removing hair, putting on perfume, being with your spouse intimately, you can do some of these things and someone may not notice them. If Allah Azza wa Jal prohibits during that time, رَفَثْ أَنْ فُسُوقًا جِدَال, indecency in speech and in act and arguments and dispute, you may partake of any of that and no one may see you. If Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to honor and prohibit certain things in Mecca and Medina because they are haram, you can violate that and no one may see you. But Allah Azza wa Jal is telling you, if you honor the prohibitions of Allah, it is better for you. And then few ayahs later, Allah Azza wa Jal says, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. If you honor the sha'ira of Allah, the worship, prominent worship of Allah Azza wa Jal that you can look at and say, this is a worship, people can see it. You see, if you're honoring the sha'ira, the worship of Allah, the rituals that Allah had obligated, it is part of the taqwa of what? The heart. And if you lack this honor and this respect for the rituals and the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, what does it mean? What is lacking inside? That there is no esteem for Allah Azza wa Jal.
that there is no love for him subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no fear of him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can esteem, we can honor because others are looking. Allah Azza wa Jal wants it to be that it is coming really from deep inside your heart. That's why you stop and you say, I'm not going to do this. That's why you rush and say, I'm going to do this because Allah Azza wa Jal wants it. So the main objective, in fact, of all of our ibadat, and Hajj is one major ibadah that instills this. One or the major objective of our ibadat is for taqwa to penetrate your heart. Is for you to do it because Allah loves it, or for you to stay away because Allah hates it. Is for you to put Allah before yourself, before your family, before everyone else. Is for you to be a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal, not a slave of yourself, not a slave of anything else except Allah Azza wa Jal. This is taqwa al-qulub. So there is taqwa for the badan. The body has taqwa. And we may be excellent at the body or the taqwa of the body. But when you're alone and no one is beside you, or is no one is going to criticize you for that act, will you do it? And if you do it, ask yourself, what does that say about the taqwa of your heart? So if you're going to go on Hajj bi-idhnillah, or you've gone to Hajj, or you're planning in the next few years to do it, ask yourself, more than the actual physical journey, more than the physical ihram that I'm putting, more than the physical things that I'm avoiding, how is my heart with Allah Azza wa Jal? Because Allah wants to look at my heart and say, I have forgiven you. Allah wants to look at my heart and say, that is a reformed heart that loves me and fears me. This is why Allah had put Hajj for us. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who fear Him and love Him, even though no one is around us and no one is there to inspect us and criticize us. May Allah grant us ikhlas. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شاء من شيء بعد وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is for His sake that we need to be patient on our journey to Hajj and during that experience. It is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though we may have the right to do it at times, that we avoid quarreling and disputing with people, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we choose a sacrifice, we don't choose the cheapest thing. We choose the best that we can afford, and we give it for Allah Azza wa Jal. And they say, وَلَا تَسْتَرْخِصِ. It says, don't go cheap when you go and when you want to give Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the difference between someone who wants to commit an just fulfill an obligation and run away. Escape. I've done it. And I fulfilled what is obligated on me. And someone who enjoys the fulfillment of that obligation, and not only enjoys it, he perfects it. So he goes when he wants to choose an animal to sacrifice, he chooses the best. Why? Because it's not a matter of how many dollars he's spending, it's that he's giving to Allah Azza wa Jal. When he is praying, when he is conversing with others, he is not being kind and gentle because they necessarily deserve it. They may not deserve it, but he is doing it because he's perfecting his akhlaq because of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah loves it from him to do so. When he is being kind, when he is practicing good manners, he's doing it because of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so on, this is his life and her life. They seek the pleasure of Allah, and wherever they find it, they do it. They could be the only person who's doing it. They could feel that everyone around them, subhanAllah, it could be true sometimes, everyone around them is breaking that commandment, as in abandoning that sunnah. But they're not blind followers of the crowd and the herd. They are followers of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, because iman is alive in their hearts.
And they will put Allah and His choices and what He loves before what they love and before what people love around them. The last lesson among many lessons of Hajj that I want to share with you is the lesson of sacrifice. And that is so prominent and dominant in Hajj. Sacrifice from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam. Sacrifice as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did. Sacrifice because you're spending so much money. And then you have to ask yourself, why so much money? I can go somewhere else. I can spend it on something else. Why so much money? Because I want you to feel that it's you're giving something to Allah Azza wa Jal. You're going on that journey and there are many other alternatives, but you're doing this for Allah Azza wa Jal. And you're sacrificing something dear to you. And you're sacrificing on that journey your comfort. And you're sacrificing on that journey part of your health. And you keep sacrificing on that journey. And subhanAllah, pushing your anger down. And being patient more so than you've maybe ever been in your life. And you keep doing it. And it's sacrifice upon sacrifice. And it's crowded. And it's hot. And it's this. And it's that. And you have to keep asking yourself, like you do with Ramadan, why is it that I'm doing all of this? Why am I not being impatient? Why am I, in fact, if I remember all of this, I'm going to receive all of this hardship with sweetness, with joy. Why? Because I could feel my sins falling down. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, ajru ala qadri al-mashaqqa, Allah will keep giving you rewards commensurate with your hardship. So say, yes, it is hard in Ramadan, difficult in Ramadan, but you feel also your sins being wiped clean. And you say, not that you wish it or that you not, you make dua and let it be harder. Because it's to taking these sins away. And when you're going on Hajj and you're spending and it's hard, and you want to burst at times, and you keep it inside of you and you say it's for Allah Azza wa Jal, and you say Allah is because of this is going to take away my sins and bring me back the way that I was born clean, then you'll receive that hardship with a smile. That's sacrifice, giving for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, because you know that whatever you gave will be returned back to you many folds and in a better way and fashion than whatever you have given. You will never lose if you give Allah Azza wa Jal. You'll never lose if you sacrifice for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Think about it. You sacrifice for so many other things. For the sake of your job, you sacrifice. And it's not always for the sake of Allah. And for the sake of your family, you sacrifice. And it's not always for Allah. And for the sake of yourself, subhanAllah, you also sacrifice. And it's not always for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And for the sake of your neighbor and this country and that government and so on and so on. You sacrifice so many things. Why not sacrifice for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal who created you? Why not give Allah Azza wa Jal, not with resentment, not with anger, not with impatience, but with gratitude that Allah, you've given me the opportunity. You've given me the opportunity to give to you. And that is an honor. He gave Ibrahim alayhi salam the opportunity to sacrifice his son. He didn't want his son to be killed. We know that. But he gave Ibrahim alayhi salam the chance. Now I've given you this command. Here is now an opportunity to sacrifice your son. A command that is coming from Allah Azza wa Jal. And he was greater after fulfillment of that command than before. So when Allah Azza wa Jal gives you an opportunity to sacrifice, He wants to exalt you. He wants to purify you. He wants to cleanse you of the dunya inside so that He would put Allah, He would put His love inside instead of it. So any an opportunity for you to sacrifice financially, physically, it's a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. Receive it with gratitude. Receive it with a smile and say, Alhamdulillah laka rabbal alameen. You've chosen me for this. You've chosen me for this.
Now, deal with it and esteem it the way it deserves and give it to Allah Azza wa Jal so that Allah can give you back a lot more than what you've given Him. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal, Arham al-Rahimin, Malik al-Mulk, Ya Dha al-Jalali wal-Ikram. Make us of those who sacrifice for your sake, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. Ya Allah, make our life, our death, our ibadah, all for your sake, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you that you change our hearts so that they are soft when we hear your dhikr, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. Fill our hearts with iman. Fill our hearts with your love so that we love you more than we love ourselves and our families and children and property and money. And we love your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than we love ourselves. Ya Allah, make your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam our model, a best example that we have in our lives, the model for our families and the model for our children. Make us of those who follow his sunnah. Make us of those who follow his example. And make us of those who meet him on the day of judgment and drink from his hawd, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, grant us ikhlas in our deeds and sayings. Ya Rabb al-Alameen, forgive us all of our sins, the sins that we know about and the sins that we do not know about. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, grant us a sincere repentance from the sins that we have. Give us power to overcome the sins that have overpowered us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab al-nar. Allahumma adkhilna al-jannata, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, wa a'idhna min al-nar. Allahumma nas'aluka al-jannata wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Wa na'udhu bika min al-nar وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. ونسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم نسألك الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. وأقم الصلاة.